Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with your hosts from thehammerspeaks.com, David Todd, and from SteelersDepot.com, Dave Bryan. Just two Daves talking all the Steelers football you could ever want. And now, here's Dave and Dave.
Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave. Season 2, Episode 4, Dave Camp in full swing enough that the Steelers got their first day off yesterday. Back at it now, Tuesday morning.
Yeah, boy, what a fast week it's been, man. It seems like every morning you wake up to a roster move or an agreement there, and then you get into training camp practice and then recaps and all like that. So it's been really fast moving, and players, of course, were off yesterday, and they're back on the field right now for the walkthrough, and then this afternoon, another afternoon practice. So right in gear now.
As we've talked about, news coming fast and furious. The Steelers have pretty much followed the plan that we've generally expected them to follow. It's take care of your own, and they have done that. We've seen, since we last spoke, we have seen a bunch of signings. We talked about the roster moves last week, but since then, in the fold, William Gay, Chris Hoke, Dan Sepulveda, Greg Warren, and this morning just announced they made their first signing of a non-Steeler, as they signed tight end from Tampa, and I'm just Graham. What's his first name?
John Gilmore.
John Gilmore. They had Daniel Graham in from, and he ended up signing with the Texans, but signed John Gilmore this morning, a 9-year vet actually out of Penn State, known more as a blocking tight end, 52 catches in his career, but he's the first guy the Steelers have signed from another that was most recently with another team.
Yeah, and Graham, it was the Titans, not the Texans, that Graham signed.
Oh, the Titans, forgive me, sorry.
Graham, I thought Graham would have been a good fit, and I think I think the money probably wasn't right there, or else they would have probably tried to agree to terms. Of course, it was a few days back, and they were same day that they had Plaxico in and all, so they probably weren't even prepared to offer him a deal maybe at that time. They probably wanted to kick his tires and see what his interest and all were. But yeah, you hit the nail on the head with Gilmore. Blocking tight end, he's played down there for Raheem Morris down in the Buccaneers system since I think 2008 and all. So this is a one or two year stopgap. I doubt he's here any more than a year. I would say right now Gilmore's not a lock to make the roster, but I think he's got a pretty good shot, considering really there's no depth behind Heath Miller right now. I know they like that Saunders kid out of South Carolina there, but let's face it, do you really, in the Bruce Arians kind of too tight end system there, you got David Johnson, who primarily serves as an H-back, even though he did fill in pretty nicely when Spaeth was out with a concussion last year. So I think Gilmore would stick around, and I don't know what this does to Saunders right now. We'll see in preseason. Maybe he makes the roster. Maybe he can outplay, pick things up and kick Gilmore off, or maybe Saunders is headed to the practice squad at the very least, would be my thoughts, because I think you want to groom somebody for that second tight end position going forward.
Yeah, I agree generally with all that. I think Saunders is a guy, it's just going to be a football IQ question. If he is smart enough to pick things up and he can see the field on special teams, he'll make the squad and Gilmore won't. The practice squad's the more likely destination for him. And, because of this guy's, mistakes, transgressions he's had in the past, I don't want to judge, whether he's a bright guy or not a bright guy, but he's obviously made some bad choices along the way. So, the Steelers aren't going to go into camp here. You've written about it. We've talked about it. You don't want to rely on a guy like that without kind of kicking the tires a little bit more and not having him in camp, not having the OTAs, all of that activity. It's hard for them to make those evaluations. They obviously just signed him a week ago. So we'll see what happens. I think he has a legit shot to make the team, but I do think it'll be a football IQ question.
Yeah, and you have to wonder, with Saunders, this guy was a kid that could have been maybe a third or fourth round guy in the draft, but due to the things with the NCAA and losing his senior year and having that foot surgery and all, you kind of wonder if the Steelers might be in a situation where they even maybe keep four tight ends for a little part of the year, just in, you know, just so they don't expose Saunders to you know, another team possibly plucking him off the practice squad. So, like you said, it's going to depend on how quick he picks it up. And if he shows anything in preseason, you know, I think Gilmore's good, well suited for this offense for 1 year. I don't know. Maybe we carry four tight ends out of training camp, but this will definitely be fun to watch, and he'll be a player to watch over the preseason.
Yeah, I will say it's worth noting that I'm with you. I was very impressed with David Johnson and his limited action when Heath was out for a couple games. Much better receiving tight end than I had expected. I thought he was running some drag routes and doing some other things. Showed reasonable hands on little patterns out to toward the sideline. I don't see him as a guy who's going to catch 50 balls in the course of a season, but I think he caught, and I don't know how many he caught that one game, four or five balls, and looked good doing it. Certainly when he has the ball in his hands and he gets up ahead of steam, he's the tough guy to bring down. So, he's not going to be, he's primarily a blocking guy, and that's the guy he's going to be. But I think he's kind of locked up his roster spot, that's for sure.
Yeah, you would think so. He did well blocking last year, more particular. He's not a guy that's going to run down the seam and away from somebody. That's where Saunders, I think, is really, if he can fit in, is really going to help. If you look, David, at what New England has done with their multiple tight ends now with the kids that they have over there with Hernandez and the other kid over there. I'm drawing a blank on his name right now. The guy that beat
the kid from Pittsburgh.
Granikowski, right. And, that makes that offense very brutal when you have two multi-talented tight ends that can both block and can both catch and spread and can go down the seam. Yeah. It makes them real dangerous. And that's where I think Saunders will eventually fit into this offense if he sticks. Johnson, I would be hesitant to rely on him as a second tight end for 16 games of the year. I think he's best suited for the H-back role, but I could be wrong. He did do enough on his time on the roster right now, and he's a good special teams player on top of that. So it's going to be fun to watch his tight end battle through camp.
Yep, I totally agree. So, you and I have mentioned Warren and Sepulveda. I really like the Sepulveda signing. I know not everybody does. I think a lot of people didn't expect to see him back. All these guys who have signed, they've signed eight of their unrestricted free agents, two RFAs. They now bring Graham in. These guys who've all done these late signings, they'll all start practicing on Thursday. What kind of numbers are we at roster-wise? And the team has to be at 90. By Thursday afternoon at 4 o'clock. Is that the right number?
The time, I think it's either 4 or 6 o'clock on Thursday. I think with the, I think they had 92 going into last night. Warren and Gilmore, I think, make 94. So none of these deals are going to be made official, like you said, until either late Wednesday or Thursday, and that's when you're going to see the corresponding moves. I had comment on the blog after I posted the Warren signing this morning, asking why are the Steelers able to carry so many players. Well, it's a sheer fact that these guys are not technically under contract right now, and that'll all come. They can't practice, like you said, until Thursday. So the Steelers are holding these paperworks on these guys to turn in, and you're going to see a bevy of moves either late Wednesday or Thursday for the corresponding guys that'll be cut.
Yep, and there's you're going to see these moves all over the league, these moves taking place. But are we generally in agreement that we have the big names in the league that are going to be cut, kind of the guys that you might want to go after, because all these teams have got to figure out their salary cap situation and want to have that sorted out by Thursday? Though I'm sure there will be some surprises along the way, most of the big news is now out there.
Yeah, I think so. Most of the big names are out there. Now, there's still going to be probably one, two, or three big names that end up being salary cap cuts, just from a sheer numbers standpoint. But I think, yeah, like you said, I think most of the big names have already been announced or they've been informed of the release, and I think most of that's hit the media by now. You know, I was listening to Pat Kerr and Tim Ryan late last night on replay of Moving the Chains, and, you know, right now in free agency, you're down to the guys that you'd sign to a one-year deal or two-year deal, kind of patchwork free agents now. So I think the storm has passed as far as all the flurry of big moves on free agency, and I think you're down to teams are going to watch each other's waiver wires to see who gets dumped and see if they can fit a player, upgrade a position and all. But I think for the most part, the big stuff's out of the way.
Now, for those listeners who haven't heard all the podcasts, the NFL has expanded the player rules, the number of guys that you can carry on the roster. How do we get from where we're going to be on Thursday, which would be August 4th, to where things will be, you know, the first week of September when they make the cut down to 53? They're going to be carrying a lot of guys through camp, right? Is there only going to be one or two cut down days?
Yeah, I need to pull up the NFL calendar again because I didn't think it was official last time. I think you're going to have two games and then your first cut down and then next two games and then probably your final cut down. You know, this will be kind of fluid. It'll kind of go along with previous years there. I think it's like maybe 10 out the door first and then or 5 or 6 out the door first in a normal year and then the final 10 or so. So of course those numbers will be exaggerated this year with 10 more guys on the roster, but I don't think I'll basically have to check those dates for you, and I might post something about that on the blog with the cut down dates here.
Dennis Dixon's the guy we didn't mention. I guess when I saw that he signed his tender as a restricted free agent, I wasn't surprised that nobody went after him. But let's talk about the quarterback situation just for a minute here, because I don't know that everybody realizes that Dennis Dixon saw time last year, along with Leftwich, along with Roethlisberger, along with Batch. You know, we had this whole issue coming into camp. How was Mike Tomlin going to divide playing time in the OTAs last year with Ben being suspended but being available for the OTAs? And then you go through the preseason, who's going to play? All three guys on the roster. You end up having guys get hurt, different things happen. But all four guys back in camp, and there has been shockingly little conversation about who was going to be the, you know, second, third, and fourth quarterback, I think, in Pittsburgh, obviously versus a year ago when it was the only thing that people talked about. You want to take first crack at this topic and say which guy's not going to make the squad if everybody's healthy and how things will play out?
Well, as far as quarterback position goes, man, I just think I have never been sold on Dennis Dixon, okay? I just have never been sold on him. I mean, yeah, he's got some talent and all, but, you know, I just don't think he's an NFL quarterback. And I think we've seen this during the free agency period because, let's face it, you know, he's claiming that he wants to be traded and an opportunity to start. Well, teams just had a crack at him during this free agency period where it only would have cost him a fifth-round draft pick and, let's say, you know, $1.5 million year average contract. And they could have, you know, I'm sure the Steelers would probably let him walk right away there. So I think you see a lot of Dennis Dixon now in preseason. Maybe they try to showcase him and get a sixth or a seventh round pick from him, because I think he's carrying like a $1.2 million tender on him. And if you got three backup quarterbacks all making, you know, $1 million plus roughly, Batch is a little bit lower than that, I think. But I think, you know, I think Dennis Dixon's the man out here.
I'm going to take the other side of that and just say his athleticism is unique to the position of the four guys. I think you roll the dice the same way you would have last year if everybody had been healthy. I think you cut Charlie Batch. He's going to be 2 miles away, hanging out at home, waiting for that phone call if you need him. I would make that move. I'd keep Dixon on the squad. I generally agree with you. It's probably his last year in a Steeler uniform, barring something completely unforeseen. I think Leftwich is going to go to camp as the number two guy, but I would keep Dixon around. I think he offers a different dimension. He'll certainly get plenty of time here, probably in this August 12th preseason game against the Skins, and it'll be interesting to see if he has developed more in terms of, you know, this is the fifth year. He's generally had the same playbook now for a bunch of years. He knows the system. He knows the guys. He should be impressive in camp in these early preseason games. Or that is if he doesn't run the offense well, that's a very telling sign. And maybe they go the other way with Batch. But I'm guessing Dixon has the upper hand going in.
Well, let me ask you this, David. If it came push came to shove, and Roethlisberger was injured, who do you want coming in right now? To run the remainder of the season.
Well, if he's out for the year, I would go with Leftwich as the guy. I don't love any of these guys, to be honest with you. I'm probably evaluate Leftwich a little bit lower than the average fan does. But I don't have a ton of confidence in any of them. I'd like to see Charlie Batch play again in the preseason just to see how he's moving. He's getting up there in age now. I think he's, what is he, 38? He's certainly been around a long time. He's a smart guy. He understands the system. He's had his financial issues. So he has incentive to make this roster, because if it's $865,000 or $1 million, whatever exactly he's making, that makes a difference in his life. Whereas you think a guy who's played as long as he has in the NFL, that's not an issue. But for him, it is. So I'm interested to see these two guys in the preseason. That will be, we talk about all these battles and watching some of the draft picks and the offensive line guys. That's stuff that you and I really enjoy. But this will be one that, I'm just surprised at how little media coverage it's gotten. This battle for the roster spots and how the quarterbacks are actually going to line up behind Ben, I think, is also pretty interesting stuff.
Yeah, one thing to keep in mind is this new rule, too, with the active players on Sunday,
Yep.
Maybe that provides an extra little twist and plays in the favor of Dixon here. Maybe we start hearing some things, and maybe him lining out wide or some trickeration and all like that. Where maybe there were, because normally if Dixon was a third quarterback, he would be inactive and unable to enter the game and unless of injury or whatnot, or until the fourth quarter or whatnot due to the old emergency quarterback rule. But see, now if a third quarterback is active, he can enter in the game at any time now. So that might be something to watch as well. Like you said, he's a lot more athletic than Charlie Batch is. So you could run into the situation where the Steelers use that extra roster spot and maybe only keep two quarterbacks active on Sunday, or they might keep three quarterbacks active on Sunday, with Dixon being one of them to provide some, trickeration or whatnot. So, yeah, you're right. I mean, it's definitely going to be something to watch. I think we're going to know real quick at where Dixon's at about two games into the preseason.
Yep.
Let me clear something up for you. I tracked down the roster reductions here. August 30th, teams got to go from 90 to 75 players. So that's as we thought. That would be after the third preseason game, actually.
I can't imagine the Steelers keeping 90 guys around camp for those 3 weeks, just because, you want to have bodies, but because of how they've limited the practices so much, you have so much less hitting, you're doing walkthroughs, you have certain guys you want to have get a lot of reps. If you got 90 guys there, you're going to have at least 10, 15 guys standing around those last couple of weeks. So I imagine maybe not. Maybe guys will just keep 90 around because they can, but I would think at some point after those preseason games, you might want to whittle that number down a little bit.
Yeah, I think they're going to hold them, and I think you'll see the cut. I think you'll see them slowly, just take it easy on the veterans to get, to give them the necessary work to knock the rust off and take a real hard look at some of these undrafted guys and give their rookies plenty of time in camp. So 75 players after August 30th, and then a final reduction to 53 comes on September 3rd. So those are those dates right there for you.
September 3rd. Okay, interesting stuff. And so the Steelers get their first day off yesterday. They have a walkthrough this morning. They're back in pads tonight. They've got their first preseason game August 12th, and they will travel on the 11th to Washington. What kind of news do you see coming out of camp here the next week? I mean, we're just going to get reports on how guys look in practice, but we're not going to get a whole lot of hitting. We had the backs on backers drills that you've written about, and it looked like maybe the seventh round pick out of Texas Tech back Batch was one of the, you know, one of the more interesting guys to watch here in the early days.
Yeah, and that's going to be the most interesting thing leading up to, you know, some of the 7-on-7s and 11-on-11s will be fun to watch as well. Batch, boy, this guy, I just hope the guy does not read the press. You know, just stay in camp, do what you need to do. Don't read your own press and all, because he's really living up to expectations. I've mentioned this all along since he was drafted. The tape shows that this kid is not afraid to stick his neck in there on blitz pickup, and that's one of the things that you worry about the most about young backs. Jonathan Dwyer, you know, I've heard kind of mixed stuff on him thus far, so it doesn't look like he's where he needs to be right now. If Batch can stay healthy, he's a smart kid, so there's no doubt he's picking up this offense. He has these jump cuts out in the flat and all, and can break some ankles on top of it. So he's going to be a fun one to watch, and he very well could be, along with Mawaldi Moore, you could see him carry four backs, with Batch being one of them. Now, Batch is probably going to have to play special teams, but when I talked to him right after he was drafted, he's played on all special teams units, so he looks like a guy not afraid to do that. He's definitely one standout to watch going forward. We mentioned Saunders as well going forward, and you know, those are, I think, are the two biggest names probably to keep an eye on right now at this point in training camp.
Yeah, interesting you talk about special teams. I don't know if he's big enough to be a valuable guy on the kick coverage, maybe on the punt coverage, not sure. I'll be surprised if he can hold a spot on the special teams coverage units, maybe on the return units. So, yeah, as you said, important to watch out. Another guy we didn't mention there on the re-signings, Mawaldi Moore re-signed. Here's a guy that I thought he was going to have trouble making the team last year. Mawaldi Moore, for the 3-year contract that he originally signed with the Steelers, has been a very productive and a very useful signing. I'm not writing the guy off by any means, but largely because Jonathan Dwyer hasn't looked particularly good. As you said, maybe came into camp a little out of shape. Mawaldi Moore, a guy who's decent in the blitz pickup, can do a lot of things. He's been good when, you know, the limited times he's had to come in and carry the ball 10 to 15 times, he's done a good job. I guess I just keep hoping that somebody's going to surpass him as a guy that has more upside here at this point in his career. And, you know, we've talked about John Clay. So Clay and Dwyer may be competing for maybe the same practice squad at this point. But with you know, Batch and Moore bringing some of the same skill set, unclear how that's going to play out. I would say the only two backs who look to be guaranteed spots on the roster right now are obviously Mendenhall and Isaac Redman.
Yeah, you've nailed it. Redman and Mendenhall are not going anywhere. It's all what Batch can do. And like I said, I think you nailed it too. With, I think Dwyer and Jonathan Clay right now are both fighting for a practice squad spot. I just find it hard to believe at this point right now the way Dwyer's opened up camp of him making a 53-man roster spot. I mean, if the guy's not willing to stick his head in there on blitz pickup, how's he going to be on a guy that you rely on for special teams? That's supposed to be hungry and supposed to be a special teams warrior like that. So. I don't think you're going to see him add any more backs now at this point. And at least now I think we can put the damn Tiki Barber rumor to bed there as well, because surely if the Steelers would have had as much interest in him as Peter King and all these other guys would have said, this guy would already be signed by now. So I think right now, to be honest with you, I think it's Batch's spot to lose on the roster. And I think he is a young version of maybe a younger Mawaldi Moore, a little bit more explosion, a little quicker feet and all. But, you know, you might see a situation where they carry more for the first half of the year and then maybe dump them if they need to add, you know, more power back, like maybe Clay off the practice squad. So I gush about Baron Batch. I know better to fall in love with these sixth, seventh round draft picks and all, but this guy really could be the real deal.
Yep, I think that's right. I wouldn't be shocked at all if Mawaldi Moore's not on the roster. I wasn't thinking he had a chance. I thought maybe last year wouldn't make the roster. I think it's going to be even tougher for him this year with Batch, but we'll see how that plays out.
If he doesn't make the roster, what do you do with that extra roster spot? You definitely have to carry four backs.
Yep, I think the Steelers will definitely, depending on how Clay and Dwyer look here in the first two preseason games, the Steelers will look at the waiver wire. I think for more of a bigger back like those two guys as opposed to a third down back. I just don't know. I mean, maybe you can carry Batch and Moore along with Redmond and Mendenhall. Maybe that is enough versatility, gives you some more speed in the backfield. So maybe it's all four of those guys competing for two spots rather than two competing for one spot and two competing for another spot, or the second spot being on the practice squad. We'll see how it goes. But, we've also learned that if it's not your first back in the NFL, backs are fungible, and they're going to be guys out there who were released, and I'm sure the Steelers will kick some tires on some guys, but clearly there's no panic in the situation right now. You mentioned Plex, and let's wrap up our Plex conversation because we haven't spoken since the whole, holy cow, the courtship. I first of all, dismissed this whole thing from the beginning, so I was wrong on that front. Clearly, I didn't think the Steelers were interested, but they were interested. They had him into camp for an extended day. He had a couple different dinners, I think, with Tomlin, and he met with Colbert and Rooney and everybody else. And it looked like maybe something was going to get done as long as, he spent 7 hours, I think, in Latrobe. At the end of the day, it didn't happen. He signs with the Jets. I'm not at all disappointed. But it does raise at least some yellow flags for me that the Steelers were as intent upon courting Plex as they were. And you mentioned it, Manny Sanders' feet, Antonio Brown's inexperience, maybe his route running. Those are issues. So, the fact that they courted him raises some yellow and red flags for me that weren't really there a week ago.
Yeah, I think you have to be concerned maybe of where their head is at now. I think, it come down to money. I think we can both agree on that. I just don't think the Steelers probably want to do a two-year deal on him and all, but Plaxico probably was firm on a one-year deal so he could show what he has and then get one maybe last three-year payday after that. So, it does raise a few red flags, of maybe what they think about the feet of Emmanuel Sanders. Now, they definitely won't rush him back right now, and hopefully we're overreacting, and hopefully it's nothing. But the guy did have two off-season foot surgeries on each of his feet. So maybe there is some worry there. And I think, it was reported that Antonio Brown had to be told even first day of on-field work, I think, of where to line up. Ben had to remind them where to line up. So maybe they're not as pleased with his development as we think they might be. The guy can catch football. I mean, that's for sure. And maybe there is a little bit of concern in there. It was enough for them to bring Plax in and kick the tires and see where his head was at and see, what his wallet needed. So I'm with you. I'd kind of wrote this off all along, and I'm surprised it made it this far. But in the end, they didn't sign him, so we were right there.
Yep. And again, we talk about the biggest jump being made generally for offensive players, I think, and receivers. You see that biggest jump, the jump that Mike Wallace made last year from your first to your second year. And this is where as much as the Steelers are going to benefit from the lockout versus other teams, there are obviously guys on the Steelers who aren't going to benefit from it. And primarily it's those guys, Manny Sanders, and more than anybody, I think Antonio Brown probably could have used that time just to get with Ben to, and they did some of this, I guess, but to be in a system where he's got coaches looking at him, he's getting the practices filmed, the things they can, tweak and work on and make sure he's just, it's more, I think, the academic side of things than anything, getting his head in the playbook and making sure he's lining up right, he's running the right routes, he's got proper depth on all his right routes, he's making the cuts where he should make them. So we'll see how that goes. And again, we talk about the things that'll be interesting to watch in preseason. This is definitely another one of them. Watching these young receivers, first of all, Manny Sanders, just is he healthy? I've got huge, we talked about this in April. Who are your breakout guys for this coming season? And no question for me, the guy is Manny Sanders, who I expect really big things from. Antonio Brown, much less so. He's got some speed. He looks like he's going to be the number one return guy. But in these first two games, again, something I'll be watching really closely.
Yeah, and I'm not down on Sanders at all. And I've mentioned in a previous podcast, this guy has looked fantastic when asked to block in his rookie season. It all comes down to his health, and I'm with you. This is a guy that could catch, you know, as a number three receiver. He could chip in 40, 50 balls easily this year, you know, if healthy and all like that. So, man, I just hope the kid is a good kid too, you know. Real candid with his interviews and all like that. He's glad to be a Steeler, of course. And let's just hope that there's nothing to those foot injuries, because I think he really can contribute this year. And I guess, you know, if something was to happen, worst case scenario, even though it was reported Randall L., I think, failed his physical, which kind of led to his release on top of his cap number, maybe they get into a situation where they bring back something like, you know, bring him back or another outside free agent if something doesn't work with the health of Sanders.
Well, let's throw one other name out that we've rarely discussed on the podcast, and a guy that you have, you know, everybody should know by now. It's SteelersDepot.com, the most comprehensive Steelers site on the internet, where Dave does all his great work, and I'll be kicking in there as we get closer to the season. You put up your initial 53-man roster, and we all know that there's a lot of speculation, thoughtful speculation, but speculation nonetheless. And the guy you put on there who is an interesting guy is Tyler Grisham, who every, you know, the past 2 years we've heard about the fact that this kid never drops a ball, although the one game he did play, he dropped one right over the middle. He's a guy you included on your 53-man, and I was just curious what your thinking was there, if you'd heard anything about how he looked in camp, or if he fits a need, because he's a, you know, he's not an overly fast kid, he's not an overly big kid, but he's got great hands. He's probably not going to be on special teams. What was your thinking?
Basically, that was a default move by me. I was sending a message. I'm trying to mirror this the way the coaches would mirror their 53 board throughout camp, and that's what this exercise does. I will be updating this over the next after every preseason game until the final cut down day. So my thinking behind Grisham is the fact that Lima Sweed has to show me something to kick Tyler Grisham off this list right now.
Yeah.
I kind of, you know, due to the uncertainty, you know, with you know, a few of these young receivers, I could definitely see them carrying six receiver spots again. Arnez Battle is still on the roster, and he's a big special teams player. Might be relied on even more this year if Anthony Madison, he's definitely not going to return, it looks like, almost certain. And that was his primary role. Arnez Battle is not flashy as a wide receiver. He has good hands and can run the routes. They would never get down. You know, that would be an emergency situation. Tyler Grisham I put there basically by default until I see a preseason game. I have a funny feeling that Grisham's not going to stay on my list throughout this whole preseason, but I did. I wanted to send a message if I was the coach that this is not Lima Swede's spot just yet.
Yep, interesting, and I think a good analysis. It just makes the team better if guys like Arnez Battle don't make the team. It means they got beat out by a younger guy. It'll be interesting to see if somebody else, one of these young guys, whether it's obviously a linebacker or whatever. We talked about that 53rd roster spot last year. It wasn't a positional spot. It was a special team spot. Who are you going to keep? Are you going to keep that sixth receiver? Are you going to keep five running backs? Are you going to keep X linebackers or corners or DBs? Again, it's going to be that this year. And, you know, I guess I'd rather see Arnez Battle not make the team, because that would mean somebody else beat him out. But as you said, he has been a good special teams player. And looking back at the Steelers, not so much last year, but in years past, that has been a gaping hole at times.
Now, do I think Lima Sweed can take one of these spots? I definitely think he has it in him. That's for sure. You know, he's going to have to play special teams if he does. You know, and there might be, you know, we'll know real quick in preseason if any of these other maybe undrafted guys, I wouldn't hold my breath on them, you know, maybe getting a spot here. That West Lions guy is going to be intriguing to watch with his size. He uses his body pretty well. So, you know, that could be a possibility as well.
You had Mario Harvey on your list.
Yeah, I have Mario Harvey on my list as making a spot as a linebacker and primarily a special teams player.
Yep.
as well. So
that might be the 53rd roster spot right there. He and Saunders might be battling for the 53rd roster spot.
That very well could be. And I think they're probably going to keep Chris Carter just because he was a draft pick. Now, when you kind of sort through this roster and all, and look at the names and look at what they like to keep normally based on other years, I think Carter will make it. And Harvey, I think, he might be the new Kieran Fox. This year he might be a guy to play a young version of Kieran Fox, played a special teams role initially. And but you called it. There's going to be, here's the battles that's going to take place. We mentioned a running back battle. We mentioned a tight end battle with Saunders making it there. You're going to have a battle at the corner position, and you're going to have a battle for maybe, like you said, that 53rd spot with possibly someone like a Mario Harvey. And those are the battles that you're going to want to watch.
Yep. Okay, Dave, anything else that we need to cover here? There's obviously been a lot of moves, non-Steeler moves going on around the NFL. And as we get a little closer to September, we'll start focusing a little bit on the divisional teams and things going on. But, Randy Moss news is big news that he apparently has retired, although I wouldn't etch that in stone. But any other big topics you want to hit?
Nothing huge.
How about that Ed Sable thing we both saw last night?
Yeah, that Ed Sable, when that replays on NFL Network, that is a must watch. Ed Sable's going into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. And I know some people are saying, well, this guy, he's a filmmaker. What's he doing in NFL Hall of Fame? But there was a quote last night, and they were talking about when the writers get in the room for voting. Normally, they would ask if it's a player involved. They would say, "Can you write history without, or history of the NFL without X player?" Well, they kind of translated that into Ed Sable's situation. And Dave, I think you remember that quote better.
Yeah, I think it was. Bruce Allen, who's the GM of the Dolphins, I think, or GM of the Buccaneers at this point, who was George Allen's son, who said, well, that's how they would present things. And he said, you certainly can't talk about watching the history of the NFL without discussing Ed Sable. And I have to say, I saw this as well. And it was, I sat down at midnight. So I sat down with, medium expectations, generally like these things that they have. And I really enjoyed it, and I highly recommend it.
Yeah, it's a good view it should rerun up until the Hall of Fame ceremony, and probably even the night after that and all too. Must see. One thing, just wanted to, I wrote late last night about, the Steelers' course of action this offseason. And really, for the people out there that wanted Nnamdi Asamoah and Jonathan Joseph and Doug Free or Sidney Rice or even a Randy Moss was the last thing that I heard people wanting. That was not going to happen during this short offseason. The Steelers are choosing to take a veteran team into the season this year. The teams that have the new coaching staffs, the new systems, the new players are going to be at a big disadvantage. And if any team has to start a rookie right now, God help them. And the Ravens are probably going to be one of those teams right out of the chute too, with Jimmy Smith at corner right there as well. So, the Steelers have a plan. It's a slow movement now. It's the transition period, as I like to say. You're going to see a lot of transition on the defensive line next year. The linebacker position maybe depends on what happens with Woodley and maybe the health of James Harrison, and the cornerback position as well. The Ike Taylor deal, source told me was 4 years, $28 million. But, to me, that just means he has maybe 2 years left on the roster. I think he's very cuttable after that. So you can't expect these young corners without any OTA and mini camp time to come in and contribute. And those guys are going to be special teams players. But understand what the Steelers are doing. They're re-signing their own veterans, guys that know the system, so they can pick up the season without even missing a beat and take advantage of some of these other teams that'll be at a disadvantage.
Yep, well put. The only thing I would add is I appreciate everybody following us on Twitter at Terrible Podcast. You can also, Dave's got 92 million followers, so if you're listening to this, I imagine you're following him already, but he's at Steelers Depot, and you can follow me at Hammer Speaks. And we'll be back at you later this week. And we'll probably try to keep it mostly Dave and myself, or guys who are actually at Steelers camp here for the first for the next couple of weeks, because we want to give you the best Steeler insights we can. And as I said, we'll branch out and get into some larger topics and look at some of the division foes, maybe get some of the beat writers from the other cities on here a little later in the month.
Yeah, and I'll also be having, again, I had Nick Ricchetta, one of my followers, very knowledgeable Steeler fan, call me after Sunday's practice to give me an update. And that's not a podcast, but I just put it up in my recap of the day. Well, Nick's going to be out at camp again today. He's going to be calling me in a full report this evening, and I'll have that audio in a separate post on my recap from today as well. So stay tuned for that. And if you're not following David on Twitter, please do so at Hammer Speaks, and his Pirates coverage is top notch at DT on Pirates on Twitter. Make sure to tune in to his post game show. He gets some great interviews with the players as well on 104. So make sure you're tuning in to that and support him in his real life job as well.
All right, well, that's going to wrap it up for season 2, episode 4 of the Terrible Podcast with David. Dave, thanks for listening.